Then you came home to the Grumman Ranch. Talk about ranching back there in the 50s, the 60s, 70s. Then we'll compare that to the way it is today.
Everything has changed so much. As you know, we had three railroads in Osage County, and all the cattle back in the up until the middle 50s were shipped by rail to Kansas City, St. Louis, St. Joe, and that's where the markets were. So the pastures were big, and the cattle came in from Texas and by rail, and they summered here. And that's when everything was grass-fattened after World War II. During the war, of course, there were no corn-fed beef. And during the early 50s, most of it was still grass-fed. They were these fat steers that were grazed on grass in Osage County and up through central Kansas all the way to Manhattan, Kansas. And then, of course, they went to Kansas City to the stockyards there. They'd have up to 20 or 30,000 head on a Monday and a Tuesday that were in carload lots. Packers' representatives would come through and pick out the fat cattle in those pens, and then they'd drive them to the packing plants, which were right adjacent to the yards there. So this is kind of the name of the game in the early 50s. And then the trucking industry came in. And that made it possible to move cattle where you didn't have to do it a horseback. So a lot of the stockyards would open up in the various smaller towns. Tulsa had a stockyard, still do. The first one was at Sand Springs, but it's now over there on the east side of town. Bristow, Pawnee, Coffeyville, every town practically of any substance has a stockyards. And, of course, the cattle move by trucks. So that revolutionized the cattle industry. The mobility of the trucking industry and the vehicles have made it revolutionary, because back in those early days, you'd have to ride to wherever you were gathering roundups or doing that. Today, you have your pickup truck and a horse trailer. Open up the gate, the horse jumps in, you can go 20 miles. Horse jumps out, you get on your horse and do the things that need to be done, and you don't have to spend 4 hours riding back home in the heat and the dust. So a cowboy's life is much different than it used to be. The things that really revolutionized the industry, again, were the trucks, the gooseneck horse trailers, and the fact that the feed used to be early on in 100-pound sacks. Then it went to where they had the overhead bins, and you could put it into a feeder on the back of a pickup truck. So the cowboys did not have to wrestle 100-pound sacks of feed all day long. And I'm not sure there's anybody that could do that today. But back, you know, up through the early 60s, that's where most of the feed would come in. We call it cake, which was cottonseed cake, cottonseed pellets, high in protein that you would pour out in the wintertime to feed the cattle. Then when we did have the pickup trucks with the feeders on the back, so you didn't have to lift those 100-pound sacks, and you didn't have to have feed pens that you'd ride out to in the middle of a storm or wet weather and feed the cattle. It revolutionized the cattle industry. So you could be an older guy and still be a cowboy. We have some cowboys that are second, third, and fourth generation cowboys. Interesting guys, wonderful guys. I love our cowboys. We have one cowboy that's been with us 46 years. Got another one that's been with us 42 years. Another one's been with these 15 or 16 years. These guys are all very conscientious, neat people. They consider themselves elitist. If you had to put them in an office or in a factory or somewhere, they'd wither up and die. But they like the outdoors. They love what they do. They like their horses. It's kind of a fraternity. Cowboys are a fraternity. Willie Nelson had a song that said, "Mothers, don't let your daughters grow up to marry cowboys." They still do.
Is that a dying breed?
Well, I don't think so. I think so long as we have open spaces and horses. They tell me it's romantic. There's a romance to it. I never felt very romantic, but I still got some great thrills in life riding a good horse and being on the top of a hill at daylight and watch the sunrise and the wind blowing across your face. That's about as good as it gets. And not everybody has that opportunity. You know, being physically tired, and yet the things to see this prairie storm come across, is something that it's wonderful. I was involved with the Federal Land Bank for years, 37 years. We used to have an economist up there. That was a very bright guy out of Wichita, Kansas. And I'd always respect his judgments. And I said, well, Larry, I've been running these ranching properties for quite a few years. And I said, the best I can ever get to the bottom line is 2% at best. And he said, Frederick, you'll make 8 to 10% every year. And I said, well, boy, somebody's got to be a lot better manager than I am. He said, well, 2% in real money. He said, the other 6 to 8% is just having the opportunity to be a rancher. So there lies the trade-off. There are a lot of things that money can't buy, but having the opportunity to be out in the wide open spaces, I think there are always going to be people that like to get out in the wide open spaces and commute with nature.